was over working on to overcome the jealousy and the strife that was described there in verse 3. And he was doing that through this process, that the root of the jealousy and the strife is the pride that was this boasting. It said, I'm of Paul. I'm of Apollos. If you look at thee, say, okay, it's not me that's great, but I follow the great one. I follow Paul. I follow Apollos. He's the one who is the one that I'm going to boast about. And we find here, Paul's telling them, that's nothing. You shouldn't be boasting about that at all here. Right? We, as in Paul and Apollos, are like these farm slaves. I'm out there, I'm planting. That's it, I'm planting. Apollos, he's out there, he's watering. But we read in both verses 6 and 7 here, but God alone gave the increase. It's God that was the one who was doing the work, not Paul, not Apollos. They're just doing as they have been sent to do. They're doing their part, their responsibility. God's the one that we should be boasting about, not how great is Paul, not how great is Apollos, not how great is anybody else that we think that we should follow. It's not about comparing ourselves. It's about the greatness of God's work. Just back in chapter 1, verse 31, it said that according as it is written, he that glorieth or boasteth, let him glory in the Lord. And so forget the boasting about myself, about somebody else, about who we follow. Boast or glory in the Lord. In Psalm 34, verse 2, it said, my soul shall make her boast in the Lord. The humble shall hear thereof and be glad. So Paul has been talking here in verse 9. We kind of left off there last time, and we're going to start there this time here. The first picture that he was painting was this field of grain. Paul and Apollos, they're planting and they're watering. The second picture that he's going to paint here, hasn't talked about it yet, but he ends up at the very end of verse 9. It says, ye are God's building. So we're starting from that point here this morning of ye are God's building. Paul and Apollos are laying the foundation. Right? They're not going to be there forever. Right? Paul moved on in his missionary work to another place. Apollos is only going to be there still for a short time. His ministry is there, but he's going to pass away. What's going to happen to the work of Christ? So they're building, the people that are there now are building the superstructure, the part that you and I can see. Paul shifts here from agricultural to architectural, but he's on the same subject here. Right? There's the basics, the basis, what we're going to build on, right? And then there's that which is above it, the field that's going to grow, the building that's going to be built. So the church is a field, some plant and some water. The church is a building. Some lay the foundation, some are going to build the structure that goes with that here. Look down to verse 16 for a second. here he confirms here what the whole subject's going to be in between. Know ye not that ye are the temple of God, and that the Spirit of God dwelleth in you? Now, something similar happens in other places in Scripture, right? In one point, Paul takes it, he says, your body, individually, you as one person, right? Your body is the temple of God. Treat it that way. In this chapter, he's actually writing to the church, and he's saying, ye, you are the temple. You are this building that we're going to be talking about. And you need to be building the right kind of a building upon the foundation. So let's pray this morning. Heavenly Father, we pray as we look into your word, Lord, that you would teach us from it. Lord, we pray that you would guide my tongue, Lord, that I would say that which you would have me to say. Lord, that the message would be something, Lord, that each one of us can take home from today and say, I now know more of God's word and more of his truth and more of how I ought to actually live. In Christ's name we pray, amen. So here in verse 16, he was saying, you, as the whole church, you are the temple. Ye are God's building, he said in verse 9, and then he described it as that temple. So the field was supposed to bear fruit. Right? The temple that he's going to be talking about here in this building is where God's Spirit is, right? Where he's working amongst his people. And so Paul changes here this image. And so we look down in verse 10, it says, according to the grace of God, which was given unto me as a wise master builder, I have laid the foundation, and another buildeth thereon. But let every man take heed how he buildeth thereon. This comes with a lot of gravity. He's going to start with these things. He's going to tell them what the foundation is. He's going to tell us here, there's a lot of people who are trying to build on the foundation. He's also going to say that they better be very, very careful what sort of material they're going to build this temple with. And he's telling them why. All of that happens here in verse 10. Right? Let every man take heed how he buildeth thereon. He's not really giving a warning here to Apollos, which is the one name that he mentioned earlier. It's to all of the new teachers that are rising up in Corinth. They're claiming to be good builders on Paul's foundation here. So he does a couple of things, right? He talks about the field, the architect, the agriculture. He's also giving them this picture. Now he's going to talk about the building, the architecture. But turn with me just to one more spot, chapter 4 and verse 15. Because he's going to address that in a little bit different fashion here. Chapter 4 and verse 15. He says this to them, for though ye have 10,000 instructors in Christ, yet ye have not many fathers. For in Christ Jesus I have begotten you through the gospel. Again, he's going to go back to that foundation thing. He's saying, you have innumerable teachers, but only one, and he's using this family type reference, one father, right? One starting place here. One who has the foundation that you're going to be growing a family on. And so he uses those three different pictures. But here he makes reference again in chapter 3 to that same fact of saying, you're going to end up with a lot of teachers along the way. And it's true, right? Not just in Corinth, right? But it is true in this church here as well. You say, well, I don't see lots of different preachers. No. Every Christian ought to be doing their part, right? And they ought to be part of teaching, right? They ought to be part of, I show up here on Sunday morning, right? And it might be a Sunday school teacher, right? It might be the preacher. It might be someone else who is leading in the service. It might be somebody I am sitting in the pew next to, or somebody who's on the other side of the auditorium. I'm learning from every one of them. And they're teaching me something. The question is, are they teaching us the right thing? That is what is most important here that we find in chapter 3. Paul is backing up to say, first of all, there's the foundation. What in the world are we building on here? And that foundation is Christ. He says, I laid the foundation. You remember before in those first couple of chapters, Paul talked about the fact that I might not have been a fancy preacher. I might not have been deep in doctrine. I might not have dug to where you thought that I should have gotten to this deeper truth. Because I was laying the foundation, the very most important thing, and that is Christ. Who is Christ? What is Christ like? What did Christ do for us? What is my salvation based on? Right? Christ. So he's going to talk about all of those things and saying the foundation here is where we start. He's also then going to give a stern warning. He's concerned about what they teach. If you're building this temple, this building, what are you building it out of? The end of verse 10 there said, I have laid the foundation, Christ. Another buildeth thereon, but let every man take heed how he buildeth thereon. That's the warning that he puts out there. Are you building correctly? Because you can say, well, I have the right foundation, but the building's pretty shaky. In fact, I titled this message here this morning, a firm foundation, but a weakening structure. Right? Because we ought to be having a strong structure. It ought to be built and says it's on a great foundation and it's the right building. But Paul's warning them and saying, you guys are building a weak structure, something that won't stand here. And this is why the teachers need to be so careful. He's then going to give them these reasons of why they need to be careful and the right materials that they ought to use. So there's a couple of parallels here that are important for us this morning. Here's the first one. The Old Testament. God took his people out of Egypt, and he gave them a very strong foundation. He said, this is how you ought to live. This is how to be my people. This is how you please God. Remember, he gave them the law at Mount Sinai? Remember, he gave them not just Ten Commandments. But he said, here's how you're going to worship me. He laid out explicitly, here is how the tabernacle should be constructed. Here is how the garments of the priest are to be constructed. Here are the sacrifices. Here is the various feasts. Here is the way that you ought to live. It comes all the way down to, right, how each and every one of you ought to live your daily life and how you ought to worship God and how you should treat others. You know what happens along the way. What did man do? Man said, well, that's great. Let's see what we can add to it. When we get to the New Testament, right, the Sadducees, the Pharisees, the teachers, are they teaching what you read in the Old Testament? No, they're teaching, well, God said this, so let me tell you all the rest of the part, the rules that we have made up. When Christ is teaching, who is the primary worldly adversary? Is it the Romans that are there to say, you can't teach that? It's the religious leaders who are saying, your message doesn't match our religion that we have built and that we want to follow. And not only we want to follow, but we want the people to follow us and the rules that we've constructed. Throughout that history time, from the time they gave the law until Christ walks on the earth here, right, we see the ups and downs of God's people as they sometimes follow after him, and sometimes they're building this building according to the instructions. And sometimes they are saying, we have a better way to do this. We have the time of the judges. And we have ups and downs as they followed after righteousness and then they said, let's go back to the world. Then they reached a point in time where they said, we're a big nation. All of the other nations around us have kings. So God, we don't want a prophet anymore. We want a king like the rest. Do you remember the warnings that came with that? God said, if I give you a king, they're going to take your money. They're going to take your young men and send them off to war. Right? They're going to raise up a kingdom for themselves, and they're going to lead you astray from following after me. And the conclusion was what? Give us a king. That sounds great. We'll go that way. Everybody else has one. We want a king as well. How long does it take for a king to lead the nation astray here in the Old Testament? The first one wasn't even any good. The second one was good some of the time. We have David, right? And we say, oh yeah, let's talk about David because David figures prominently in our Bible, right? The Psalms and David's life that we find. All about David. We talked a little bit about David this morning in Sunday school. David's children are awful. And the kingdom can't even survive this, right? David has one offspring who becomes king, who leads in a pretty good fashion, Solomon. At Solomon's death, his kingdom is divided into two different kingdoms. Right? The children there could no longer agree. Where are they leading? The northern kingdom literally happened this way. They never had a good king. It was always a wicked king. The southern kingdom had a few ups and downs along the way. Right? They built a bad building on the foundation that they were given. Right? One more parallel. Our nation. You and I live in a nation that was originally built. The original foundation of it was based upon law, the assumption that people would live morally and with biblical instruction. Right? That foundation was laid. How good are we doing building on that foundation? Right? We've seen some good leadership. We've seen some very poor leadership. And what are we as the people doing? Are we strong? And we have a good structure on the foundation? Or is our structure hardly resembling the foundation at all? We decided to add an addition with no foundation under it. We decided we didn't like this part, so we tore it down. So now we have an empty basement with no structure over it at all. We've taken and said we had a good structure to start with, a good foundation, and we were building a good structure on it. Until what happened? Man's way gets in the way. Man's way says, well, I would like something that pleases me more rather than that helps me live in a godly way. The expectation from the original founders of our country was that people would remain good church attenders, and not only attenders, right, but hearken to the word of God, and that they would live in a right way, and that government would actually have a very limited role because the people were simply doing what was right, not having somebody to dictate and tell them what they needed to do. I don't remember the individual who it is, but when asked about the Constitution and what they were being given, they were told, you are giving a republic, right, a government, if you can keep it. Right? But it's your responsibility to keep it. We have failed along the way. It parallels here with what Paul is writing to this church here. Number one, they had a good foundation. Right? In this case here, in our Bibles, your foundation is Christ. He's the one who is going to control the shape and the quality if you're building on that foundation. If you're building on something else, it's not going to be the structure that God wanted you to have here. Paul is doing this. He goes through the whole book and he exalts Christ as being, he is preeminent. Everything falls back to Christ. In fact, he's going to address later on and he's going to say, so you have questions about how you ought to live. Is this right or is this wrong? And you say, well, I did not find a verse anywhere in this book that addressed my particular situation. And here's what Paul leads them all the way back to again. He said, but what about Christ? So is what you're going to do, your decision, is it going to magnify Christ? Or is it about self? Is it going to bring honor and glory to your Savior? Or is it going to somehow please the flesh? Is it going to point people to Christ? Or is it going to point them away from Christ? We don't have to go through all of the rules about this is how you live life. Right? The question is, are we going to glorify Christ in everything that we say and everything that we do here? So Paul here is lifting up Christ in his true greatness. He's going to describe it as gold, silver, and precious stones. Then he's going to give an alternative as well here. That which detracts from the fullness of the truth is wood, hay, and stubble. Those things, are you going to build with those items on the foundation? So, three different things here. There's three consequences of a shabby building, right? Not whether we have the paint is peeling on the outside, right, of a wooden structure. Not whether the lawn is perfect. Right? The structure we're talking about here, the shabby building, is the church, and the church is people. It's not a physical structure. It's the people in it. So look down with me at verses 12 and 13 here. The first thing he says, one of the three consequences of this shabby building. Now, if any man build upon this foundation, gold, silver, precious stones, wood, hay, stubble, every man's work shall be manifest. For the day shall declare it, because it shall be revealed by fire. And the fire shall try every man's work, what sort it is. Right? Here's what's going to happen. The first consequence of a shabby building is that it is going to bring injury to the church, injury to God's ministry here. He said, if you have the doctrines, the attitudes, and the actions, if they don't fit on the foundation of Christ, there's the fiery judgment at the end. Peter tells us this. Let's turn there. 1 Peter chapter 4 and verse 17. 1 Peter 4 and verse 17. We sometimes get in our mind this expectation. Judgment is, right? For those that are going to just reject God, they're going to do things their way, not his way. And here's what Peter tells us. 1 Peter 4, 17. For the time is come that judgment must begin at the house of God. And if it first begin at us, what shall the end of be of them that obey not the gospel of God. He says, judgment shall begin first with us. Right? He's talking about the people of God. He's not talking about the unsaved and those who totally reject that judgment that comes because we simply don't obey. We're going to do things our way. We should be laboring to build into the church here doctrines, attitudes, and behaviors that when they're tested by fire, they're going to result as gold, silver, and precious stones. Right? That's the result that we're looking for, to the glory of Christ. Number two, another consequence is the builder's loss of rewards. So verses 14 and 15 are going to take and talk about that loss of rewards here. It's another consequence. If any man's work abide, which he shall build thereon, he shall receive a reward. If any man's work shall be burned, he shall suffer loss, but he himself shall be saved, yet so by fire. He's comparing here, he's talking about the trying of the works, right? Are they gold, silver, and precious stones? They're going to survive the testing of the fire. We all know the wood, hay, and the stubble. Right? All that's left is going to be what? Ashes. Right? That's all there is to that. It's possible to be a Christian. It's also to be a harmful teacher to the church. Right? To lead it in the wrong direction. To say, well, I don't like the way our church is handling such and such a matter. I think that we would attract more people if we did this, this, or this. Or if we tossed out these truths. If we said, you know, the Bible's great, but some of it's hard. Some of it offends people. So let's just ignore those portions that are going to offend somebody. If we talk only about the good things, then people will come to enjoy the good things. This morning, as we were talking about our pilgrim and Pilgrim's Progress, even before he's saved, he's talking with Pliable about heaven. And Pliable, I love to talk about heaven. Heaven's great. Okay? Let's talk about some of the hard things. Not going there. I don't want to be part of that piece of the picture. Many Christians have much doctrine wrong. They have attitude blind spots. Right? They build on things as wood, hay, and stubble. And they lead other Christians down that same road. Going to be smoke and ashes in the end. Because we have to stay true to God's word, and we have to stay true to the foundation that we're building on here, which is Christ. We're supposed to be vigilant. 2 Timothy 2:15 says, study to show thyself approved unto God, a workman that needeth not to be ashamed, rightly dividing the word of truth. Those who are going to build with the wood, hay, and the stubble, right, things that are contrary to Scripture, are going to result in, number one, a shabby building, a shabby church, instead of building on the matchless foundation of Christ. Third consequence is destruction of the church and destruction of ourselves. If we follow along in a path that says, we're not building on the true foundation here. It's contrary to the foundation, right? Because we're trying to serve self. We're trying to please other people. Verse 17 here of chapter 3 said, if any man defile the temple of God, him shall God destroy. For the temple of God is holy, which temple ye are. So that destruction that comes here. Right? Churches, it happens to churches on a regular basis. Churches who leave the true foundation and they go and they build on something else. Right? Our history of our country. Right? One of the foundations, right, was the, are we following after God's word? What are the churches teaching? 150 years ago, Churches stood on truth. And then something happened here. Churches were that were once saying, we believe the Bible, we follow after it, we do what we believe we should do what God has for us here. And they had a great foundation. Something got introduced along the way. Right? It's called a Unitarian pastor. And the Unitarian pastor was this side. Those preachers began to deny the deity of Christ. They said, we believe in God. Oh yeah, because we can all agree and believe in God. But the deity of Christ, we have a real question about. So they did not come in and say, hold it, stop. You're all believing wrong. Okay. How did it happen? Came in as a young guy who said, oh yeah, I believe and I agree with you guys. Right? That's what I believe in truth. Except, on the backside, I don't quite believe all of what you believe. And I'm not sure about Christ as being God. But that's not the first sermon they preached. Right? They introduced the concept along the way and said, we're just going to slowly build on the structure here. You had a good foundation, but you're going to build a little differently, right? A little off to the side, a little extra over here. We're going to skip part of the foundation over here, and we're going to change it little by little. In fact, you know, we might not really make much of a change at all that you see until we remodel. Right? So it's time to step back and say, you know, the world's been changing around us. Let's go back and see if maybe we need to make some adjustments. That Unitarian belief, it started off as saying, right, I don't believe in the deity of Christ. If we look at our world, our nation today, that truth followed through. Many, many churches today don't teach the deity of Christ. Okay? Many, in fact, use that Unitarian name in their name of their church. Here's what they really say. We believe in God. Most of the time. We believe in this term that you might call Christian. But we don't believe that man is a sinner. We don't believe that God has expectations of how a man ought to live. What we do believe is that you can believe anything you want about God. You can believe that God will accept your sin no matter what. And that you can live in any fashion you please because the only thing that matters is, are you happy today? Churches across our nation preach that. They're not on the foundation. You can destroy this building, that structure, by doing one of two things. You can go and try and break up the foundation directly. That's a little difficult. The easier way is you can introduce change. Right? One little piece at a time here, slowly erode the structure. Slowly change its shape until finally you reach the point that says the structure that you see is simply standing on sand and has nothing to do with the foundation that it was originally built upon here. Our nation took a parallel course with the churches. Right? God-fearing people that once stood on a foundation of morality, decency, and Bible-defined character ever so slowly have changed the structure and now no longer stand on a firm foundation. Right? They float on the sifting sands of amorality, self-centeredness, outright perversion that says we can do anything we want and we can celebrate it, not just on the streets in public, but in our churches. Right? We're going to hang out flank flags out that say what? We love you and we don't care anything at all about your sin. Just come join us. Do whatever you want to do. That's acceptable to us. That is not acceptable to Scripture. It's not acceptable to God. Right? Our attitudes. We're sitting here in this building today and I'm asking this question. Right? Are you truly building on the foundation of Christ? Or are we looking for ways to say, well, I don't like the old, I'd kind of like the new. And the new is something that pleases me. I'm not sure it fits on the foundation, but that's okay. It's something that pleases me. Right? Verse 17 again said, if any man defile the temple of God, him shall God destroy. For the temple of God is holy, which temple ye are. And he was talking about the group, the church, the assembly that was there. In Acts chapter 20, verses 26 and 27, statement is made here. Wherefore I take to you record this day that I am pure from the blood of all men. For I have not shunned to declare unto you the whole counsel of God. Right? I am going to give you the truth, not build a different foundation here. As an application, these things here. We need to keep vigilant, be vigilant to keep Christ as the foundation of our church. Nothing else really matters if you don't have Christ as the foundation. We need to make sure that the building blocks of our doctrine follow the contours of that foundation. Right? Is your doctrine matching the foundation of Christ? We need to take the attitudes of our church and set them down on the lines of the foundation and see where we might be off base and in need of correction. Go back to the book. We need to look at all of our ministries and everything that we do. Right? Our plans, our goals, our financial goals. Lay them out on the foundation and say, do they fit? Do the lines match up? Or are we trying to head in a wrong direction here? And we need to let Christ be the one and only foundation of Maranatha Baptist Church. This is what we stand on as the truth. His influence should be utterly pervasive in everything that we do. We have to back up to that and say, okay, we're going to make a decision. First of all, does it match the foundation? If it doesn't, then we should not do it. We want the gold, silver, and the precious stones not to be in the sanctuary. Right? Bring your gold, your silver, and your precious stones. We're going to decorate the walls with it. It should be in our doctrine and in our lives. That's where it needs to stand. Right? My question is for each and every one of us. Are we standing on the firm foundation or are we shifting with time? And saying, well, the world around us is changing, and I think that we should change as well. We need to stand on the firm foundation here that we find in 1 Corinthians and chapter 3. Heavenly Father, we pray that, Lord, you would guide and lead us. Lord, we pray that you would help us to look at our motives, look at our doctrines, look at the way we live, and determine, are we following after, are we building upon the foundation of Christ and what you have laid down, or are we straying from that? Or that each and every one of us would look at our own lives and determine, are we following after the right, or are we listening to the world and being drawn by it? In your name we pray. Amen. Okay. We're going to sing a song, and then we're going to have our communion service.